My name is Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be of service to the meeting tonight and share my experience, strength, and hope on sponsorship. I came into this fellowship with 11 years in the beverage program, as we like to say over here, and I had experience with being sponsored and being a sponsor. And one of the things that I realized when I had some time in Overeaters Anonymous is that as well as I did that, what I've learned here has made me a better sponsor there. And it's just been my experience. I follow a format for sponsorship that was introduced to me at the meeting that I ended up in. I've been relieved of 230 pounds. I've fully resolved type 2 diabetes. I was dying when I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2015. I'd gained 150 pounds after a triple bypass on my heart. I'd almost drank myself to death. I'd done such damage to my heart that at 5 years sober, I had to have a triple bypass. And in the ensuing 6 years, I put on 150 pounds. I don't have the mild form of this illness. I have the intense, chronic, fatal version. Therefore, my recovery has to be at sometimes intense, structured, and disciplined and committed at a level that I wasn't familiar with when I came into the rooms. The level of accountability that I live with around sponsorship, being sponsored and sponsoring, for some people, it's not their bag. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. I'm here to share what I do. And what I do is at the same time every day, I call my sponsor, 5:45 a.m. Central Time. That's the time that we've agreed on. I report everything that's going to go in my mouth for that day. And I weigh and measure everything that's going to go in my mouth that day. I have a food plan from a nutritionist. Because these were the things that were recommended to me when I came into Overeaters Anonymous. I get a lot of people who, when I'm asked to sponsor and I introduce them to the way that I was sponsored, who say, I won't do that. And I'm like, God bless. That's fine. My experience is that what I won't do in this program is what will kill me. It's not what I will do. And the results speak for themselves, because I'm as free now internally and externally as I've ever been in my life. My type 2 diabetes has been fully resolved. I almost lost my right leg to the chronic neuropathy that I contracted as a result of the type 2. Some of you on this meeting have heard that story. I've had 4 toes amputated. You know, there's a line in the big book that said, some of us have to be pretty badly mangled. I'm that guy. So when I introduce rigidity and discipline and commitment to the guys, to the men that occasionally will ask me to sponsor them at a level that they're not familiar with and aren't willing to do, I just say, God bless. Because I don't know any other way and I can't do any other way. I can't do middle of the road sponsorship. I can't do a twice a week call, send you a picture of my plate at a restaurant. I can't do that. I'm utterly and completely helpless in the face of food. And I had to get clear on that. And the problem with that was, is that other people had to watch me nearly kill myself with food after I nearly killed myself with alcohol. I had to drag my family back through that addictive process. So when I introduce the fact that I follow the format, it's a 2-hour OA How format, people are like, oh, okay, well, it's what works for me. And in that, I've got a relationship with a power greater than myself that's rich and meaningful. I do walking meditation. So these mangled feet of mine, my feet, I've had a total of 8 surgeries on my feet. I hiked 5 miles in the woods near my house today. And when I say hike, I don't mean walk on a flat path. I mean, I hike in the woods, hills, the whole thing, because of the redemptive power of this program. It's redeemed my spirit and restored my body. Again, the results speak for themselves. There's nothing, the only way I can describe my recovery is that it's been a wholesale miracle. Mind, body, and spirit are all going in the same general direction because I was willing to call my sponsor on time daily, ask for assistance from other OA members when my sponsor isn't available. I will call another sponsor and ask to be temped for that day, right? I listen and reflect on what my sponsor's feedback to me is about the inventory that I report on a daily basis. I answer all the questions that are in the big book from 83 to the end of the chapter, right? On steps 10 and 11. And, you know, every once in a while I'll get some feedback from doing a talk like this. Well, you're too rigid. Okay. When's the last time your disease gave you a day off? Like, seriously, we got people walking in here and rotating in and out and dying. And you know, I think sometimes, you know, there's a page in Working with Others in the Big Book that I really just like to read because I think there's this notion that, you know, we should make people comfortable. Let me read what's on page 92 of the Big Book. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, in our parlance, a compulsive overeater, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. First bite, right? Don't at this stage refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let them draw their own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea he can still control his drinking, tell him that he possibly can if he is not too alcoholic. But insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. I had a My disease is so serious that I had a cardiologist quit on me. The guy that repaired my heart 3 years in, he was watching me put on all that weight. He said goodbye. So when I'm asked to do spiritually oriented things like weigh and measure, the most spiritual thing I do every day is put food on a scale. Why? Because it makes me available to every area of my life. It makes me available to my family. I can bring loving kindness. I can bring love and tolerance everywhere I go. I can show up in a way that I never had the capacity to show up before because I was utterly and completely preoccupied with food. Rigid, committed, disciplined sponsorship on a daily basis, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I travel a lot. I think I've got four retreats lined up this year that I'll be facilitating. It goes with me. I do the same thing everywhere. I'll ask my sponsees to get a temp at that point, right? And again, it's you know, my listen, I did a drive-by to this format that I do in Overeaters Anonymous, and you know, I knew I went to one meeting and I knew immediately was for me, but I started listening in that little guy in my head that says, yeah. Right? I got a 4-year-old lives in my head. He doesn't have a name, but anything that's reported to me that might be good for me and change my life in a positive way, he's got a one-word answer for it. And it's yeah. Right? And I stepped back out for 6 years and I put on another 100 pounds. And my blood sugars went to 450. And I'm in my 50s and I'm dying again of another addictive illness. Because I don't have the power. And I can't tap into the power as hard as I want because you guys are trying to teach me that my credits don't transfer from the other fellowship. And so I needed it laid out step by step for me. I needed to be grabbed by the hand. And that happened at my first meeting. When I got 12-stepped into Overeaters Anonymous in 2015 at the International AA Convention in Atlanta. A responsible, recovered member of this fellowship sat down asked me how I was doing and told me that I was full of shit when I said I was fine. She looked me straight in the eye and said, "Patrick, you're dying, and I might not have another opportunity to share with you the fact that you don't have to do this. There's a way." And she reported to me, she shared her story with me. That's how I was inter I was 12 stepped in by a responsible recovered member who wasn't afraid of my hurting my feelings. She was much more interested in my life than my feelings. She wasn't there to coddle. She knew she might have only have one opportunity. And you know what? I went home and I ate like a madman for a month, but I couldn't get it out of my head. So I went to the meeting, and a man approached me at my first meeting and asked me a very rude, intrusive question at the end of the meeting. He approached me and said, "What are you going to have for breakfast?" That was the rude, intrusive meeting, right? And I said, "You know, I don't know. I don't know how to do this." And he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll share my food plan with you. If you're willing to call me tomorrow morning at this time, I'll share my food plan with you. But here's what you need to go across the street to the grocery store tonight and buy." And he gave me a list of things to go purchase. And I did that because I don't know how to do this. If I knew how to do this, I wouldn't be in Overeaters Anonymous. If I knew how to eat or what to eat or how much to eat at any given time, why would I need a 12-step fellowship to support me in this? And it's my resistance to that idea that'll kill me. "Patrick, you're too intense." Okay. I pull my socks on over my first step every day. The space where my big toe and my second toe on both feet are supposed to be. And if you haven't hit that mark yet and you're thinking, "I'm not going to go with that role," and you can achieve abstinence and, by the way, serenity and peace, because I have serenity and peace. I know when I get on a meeting and do this talk, it doesn't sound like it, but I do. I am completely at peace with where I'm at in my life these days. And I live in Minneapolis, and it ain't easy to be at peace up here right now. But I am, and I'm useful, and I'm helpful, and I have people in my life that I love that I can be neutral on what they're doing with food. I can show up and be of service. Obviously, I sponsor two other people in this fellowship. And that's my limit because I do a 15-minute call with them every day. They call me at a certain time. We do a 15-minute call. They report their food. We go through their inventory. We talk about any other stuff. If they're on a particular step or reading a piece of OA or AA literature that requires some conversation and some feedback about something that's coming up, we do that. I'm also available to them during the day if they have some sort of a change in their plan, right? It's a commitment. I'm there for them. That's why I don't sponsor 10 people poorly. I sponsor two well. I highlight the areas of growth that I notice in my sponsees' physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual recovery. And by the way, this format, I pulled it off the Overeaters Anonymous website. It's been around for a long time. It's what it is it's actually using all the tools of Overeaters Anonymous. It's not a theoretical approach. It's a structured, disciplined approach. And it works. It works. And it's what I had to have. I don't know if you need it or not. I don't. And I almost declined this opportunity to come on here and speak because there's this idea that the format of meeting that I go to and what we do there isn't OA. And it is. It's all OA. All the approaches we use around the food or the calls or the sponsorship are OA. I'm a big book guy. I had the first 164 pages of the big book memorized when I came in here. And I was dying because it's not about sounding good. It's not about intellect. It's not about intellect. It's not about me being able to come on here and sound really cool because I can recite the book. It's about a more important demonstration of these principles in my homes, occupations, and affairs. I share honestly and willingly about my experience, learning, stumbles, growth, and gratitude in recovery. I've relapsed twice in this program. One time in a hospital when the amputation of my right, I had a bad infection in my right foot, MRSA. They had to hang a second bag of Vanco, and the infectious disease doc came into my room and said, "If the bug numbers don't move, we're taking it above the knee tomorrow morning." And then they screwed up my metabolic snack from the cafeteria, and I brought food with me, and I didn't make a call and say, "What should I do?" And I ate a pound bag of cashews in the hospital, about to suffer dire consequences of my disease. Suddenly, the thought crossed my mind that eyeballing the cashews would be sufficient. I don't know what form of disease of this disease that you have, but I have the hopeless one. And that's why the level of discipline and commitment that I need to have, I've explored the dark corners of this thing, man. And the format that I use and the way that I'm sponsored and the way that I sponsor other people keeps us from that. We live in the light and we're available in all areas of our life. You know, that practice these principles in all of our affairs in step 12, right? A more important demonstration of our principles in our homes, occupations, and affairs. I get calls when I do talks, when I do retreats, when I've spoke at the birthday party. I get around a little bit because this thing under my nose runs really well, right? Okay, big deal. I got to be able to show up for you when you call me at, 7 o'clock on a Saturday night with six empty bags of chips next to the couch. That's when I got to be up, right? I got to be spiritually fit because I don't know when that's going to happen. And I get those calls. And they've had this sort of low-grade migraine kind of recovery. Well, I'm not overeating. I'm not overeating. And their relationships are trash, and their job performance, what this allows me to do is that mind, body, and spirit all travel in the same general direction on any given day, and I'm able to show up in my homes, my occupations, and my personal affairs in a way that I never thought I could. With dignity, grace, compassion, kindness, love. I work for the largest homeless services provider in Minnesota, right? I've been doing that work for 18 years. I did it poorly for 10 because I was utterly and completely obsessed with food. I was distracted. I was not connected. I had bad rapport with people. And now I do it in a completely different way. And I'm approached by leaders of other organizations on how to foster team unity and do all these things, all these miracles that. Because I'm willing to be held accountable at a level that is sometimes very uncomfortable, sometimes, not often anymore, not as often as at the beginning. And at the beginning, it was hard for me to establish this. So I was extended grace, but I was held accountable.
1 minute.
Thank you. I'm really grateful that I was invited here. And I'm really, I hope that we do some sharing on this meeting and that I hear from people about how they approach this. But yes, I've been through all 12 steps in Overeaters Anonymous on several occasions. I went through the big book and then I went through the 12 steps out of the workbook in OA because I needed to have the OA experience as well. Remember, I came in here with a head full of big book. I needed all of you and your experience, strength, and hope. You guys saved my life because you weren't willing to let me off the hook on what I needed to do. You held me accountable, and I'm grateful for it. I've got a good life today because of Overeaters Anonymous, my other fellowship as well. I'm still an active member there. But it was this that freed me and gave me the capacity to live a full on the full spectrum of life. And I'm just very grateful. Thank you.